here at the Cove, and I'm thrilled to be here with you today, whether you're with us in the room right now or whether you're joining us live on the stream or a little bit later. We're grateful that you've taken the time to continue this conversation with us about this idea that we are stretched too thin, and this is not God's plan for our lives. It's not how he designed us. It's not what he wants for us. And you know, a few weeks ago, we talked about the idea of energy management, of fillers and drainers, and we said that we serve an infinite God, but we are finite, which means God can do it all, but you can't. God can handle everything, but you need to rest, and that's okay because he invites you to rest in him. And then we've taken the last couple of weeks and we've talked about some spiritual disciplines that we can put into place in our lives to help us live at the rhythm and at the pace that God has designed us for in a way that's sustainable and in a way that brings glory and honor to our Father. So we talked about silence and solitude 2 weeks ago. And last week we talked about Sabbath. And we said that Sabbath says, God, I have enough and you are enough. And today we're going to talk about simplicity. And as we begin, I just need to confess to you that I hate shopping. Anybody else? I know hate is a strong word, but it's the right word. Sometimes it's just the truth, okay? If I can avoid going to a physical store, I 100% will. And this has nothing to do with a pandemic. It's just how I'm wired. I don't enjoy it. But every once in a while, I have to because the shirt that I bought 15 years ago, my wife won't let me wear in public anymore. You know what I mean? And so you got to go, and you got to go in there. And so Abby and I will go. We'll go in together, and then we'll split, and we'll go opposite ways. And after what feels like 17 days to me, but it's probably like an hour, we come back together, and one of us will ask this question. Do you find something you can't live without? And the other one will inevitably answer, well, just you. And then, but I want this too. Can I have this? Is this cool? Yeah, yeah. And so then we'll go. And I tell you this, not to be like, I don't like toys. I don't buy anything ever because I do. And what I've noticed is that my toys, they got a lot more expensive over the years. Anybody else besides me? Like gone are the days when a dollar pack of baseball cards and I'm good for a long time, you know? But now that's not true. And I'm telling you what, some of these Amazon ads have me pegged 100%. It's just the truth. We live in a society today where we see 4,000 ads a day. 4,000 ads a day, and all of them are targeted, and they have one goal, and that's to attack the contentment that we have in our lives. The goal is to stoke this fire of desire within us and convince us that we need whatever this is. And as I was preparing for this message, I came across a quote from Mark Twain where he said, civilization is the limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessities. It's pretty good, right? Civilization is the limitless multiplication of unnecessary necessities. Because if I can convince you that you need this, then you'll have to buy this or else you won't be content. And these ads are good, too. And sometimes when we're just talking about stuff, have you ever noticed? If you talk about anything in your house, it shows up immediately on your phone. Like, you should buy this. And you're like, what is happening? Then you realize, oh, yeah, I got Siri in my pocket and Alexa on the shelf. So I get that. And so that, you know, I don't really love that, but I've kind of come to terms with it. But then there's sometimes, maybe this has happened to somebody else, there's sometimes you don't even say anything. You just start thinking about stuff. You're like, man, it'd be really cool if I bought this, but you know for a fact that you haven't said it out loud, and boom, it shows up on the feed anyway, and you go, what is happening? You have two reactions. One of two things happens when this happens in your life. You either start combing through your house for hidden mics and cameras, or you say, this is a sign from Jesus. I need this thing. This is what he said. And yeah. It's one of the two, man. It's one of the two. But it's funny how often we confuse our wants and our needs, isn't it? And we have this conversation at our house all the time because our youngest, he doesn't know the word want, but he's got need down pretty good. So he'll say, I need this car. And we'll be like, no, you don't need that car. You want that car. And that's a big difference. But it's funny how we do the same thing. You can say the same sentence for any adult in this room, can't you? I need that. Well, do you need it or do you want it? And all of these ads, all these things we've been talking about, they're designed to attack our contentment. And the truth of the matter is, contentment is something that we're constantly chasing. It's the reason that we buy everything that we buy. It's the reason we bought the house we did, the car we drive, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, is we want to find this contentment, and we've bought into this lie that if I get some more stuff, then I'll be happier, and if I'm happier, then maybe one day that'll lead to contentment. And we just keep running in circles. And that little hit of dopamine that we get when we buy that thing that we saved up for, or that came across the feed, we're like, oh yeah, and we just got it. And it feels really good in the moment, and it lasts for a minute, but it feels good, but not good enough to sustain us over time, right? And so we find ourselves going right back again and again. But I want to ask you this question. What if the things that bring us actual contentment aren't things at all? What if the things that bring us contentment aren't things? And what is the secret to living a contented life? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 6. He's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about money, and he's talking about contentment, and this is what Jesus had to say about it. He said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. No one. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Now, there's a lot here, so let's unpack it together. Jesus begins, and he says, I don't want you to store up treasures. I don't want you to pour your life and your time and your money and your resources into things that are going to rust and things that are going to rot. Instead, I want you to focus that stuff on building the kingdom. I want you to pour that into people. We spent a whole year talking about that last year in our series, The Kingdom, as we went through the Sermon on the Mount. I want you to pour into people. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart will follow that. And the truth is, your heart directs your desires. Have you noticed? Your heart directs your desires, so you got to aim your heart in the right direction. And after Jesus talks about where to store up your treasure, he seems like he shifts gears a little bit, because he uses this idiom that we don't really use today. And I used to think that he had like this ADD, like squirrel kind of moment where he's just talking about money, then he's talking about optometry for some reason, and then he goes back and circles back around to money. But the truth is, Jesus is using this idiom of a healthy eye or an unhealthy eye. And in Jesus' day, when somebody said you had a healthy eye, what that meant is that you were focused on the things that mattered and you were generous to the poor. And the inverse of that is also true. If you have an unhealthy eye, it means you're focused on things that don't really matter all that much. Maybe they're not necessarily bad in and of themselves, but they're not the best, and you're stingy, and you're not generous with the poor. And Jesus is building to a point here. He says, I want you to store up treasures in heaven. I want you to pour into people because your heart's going to follow those things. I want you to have a healthy eye because you can only serve one master. You can only serve God or money. It's not a both-and kind of situation. And he said, you'll be able to tell whom you serve by taking a look at where you place your treasure and seeing whether your eye is healthy or not. You follow me? You'll be able to tell whom you serve by taking a look at where you place your treasure and taking a look at the health of your eye. Now, maybe you're wondering, what does this have to do with contentment? Everything. Because I want you to take a look at what Jesus says next. He says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Jesus has a way of getting all up in your business, doesn't he? Because he knows the things that we're anxious about. He knows the things that consume our thoughts. And you know what I've noticed is that anxiety is the opposite of contentment, isn't it? Anxiety is the opposite of contentment, because when I get anxious, I'm no longer content because I'm worried about all of these things. And Jesus just puts his finger right on it and says, food and shelter and clothing, and these are the things that you're worried about. And you're looking for contentment in these things, but you won't ever find them there. They cannot be found there. It doesn't matter how good the deal was. It doesn't matter how much money you saved on Prime Day. None of that matters, because that's not where contentment is found. It never has been, and it never will be. And he concludes this section of the Sermon on the Mount by saying, but seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What a promise. What a savior. He said, I know you're worried about all this stuff. You know who provides it, right? What I want you to do is focus on building the kingdom, and I will provide what you need. Notice he didn't say, I'll give you everything you ever wanted. He didn't say that. He said, I will provide what you need. And we see Jesus say this. And would it be fair to say that Paul took Jesus at his word? Would that be fair? A few years later, let's fast forward, and Paul's writing to the Philippian church, and he pens one of the most famous verses in all of Scripture. Maybe you have it on the wall at your house or it's on a pillow or something. It's Philippians 4:13. Anybody know what it says? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or who gives me strength, depending on your translation, right? The funny thing is, when Paul wrote these words, he wasn't talking about winning a football game. He wasn't talking about getting a promotion at work. He was talking about contentment and being content in all circumstances. And I want to show this to you from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. It says this, I'm not saying this, he's asking them to give. He said, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this, all things, through him who gives me strength. So what's Paul talking about? What is the secret of contentment that Paul's talking about here? He's talking about having a relationship with God. And how do I know? Because if you rewind a little bit to earlier in the chapter, earlier in the book, he says, don't be anxious about anything. His anxiety is the opposite of contentment. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and petition, present your request to who? To God. And what will happen when you do? And the peace of God will fill your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. See, contentment, it was never going to come from things. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know already, because you've known that money and possessions don't bring contentment for a long time. Because listen, if you could buy contentment, you'd have bought it already. You'd have already done it. And if not you, you would certainly know someone, or at least of someone, who bought it. But you can't buy contentment. And what I'm about to say next may sound a little bit strange coming from a preacher, but money and things can improve your life. Like, we know that, right? But only to a point. And there is a point where money and things stop improving our life and they start making it worse, don't they? It's like we talked about last week, where we said, you know, you can work a certain amount of hours and your productivity will increase with the hours you work, but once you hit a certain number, it levels off and then it starts to tank. The same is true with money and stuff. And it's interesting, because Princeton University did a study on this as well, and they found the number that you got to hit. And once you hit this number, that's all money can give you. You know what the number is? $75,000. And that's not per person, by the way. That's per family. And this is a national average because, listen, we understand that $75,000 in some places is a whole lot of money. And $75,000 in some places ain't going to cut it. The point is not $75,000. The point is that once you get to a certain level where you're not worried if the lights are getting cut off anymore or if there's going to be food on the table, money will continue to promise you that it can bring you happiness and fulfillment, that it under-delivers every time, doesn't it? Money over-promises and under-delivers every time. And maybe you've heard the phrase, less but better. You heard that before? I need less stuff. I just need better stuff. Like, I only need 7 TVs. I just need one really awesome one, you know? But what if it's not less but better? What if it's less is better? What if there's something to this ancient idea of living simply? Maybe you prefer the term minimalism. That's kind of the phrase of the day, right? I'm a minimalist, and I'm living simply and all this stuff. And for those of you who are concerned, don't worry. I'm not going to ask you if your blue sweater sparks joy. I promise I won't, okay? Because I really don't care if your blue sweater sparks joy. But I do want to ask you this question. Are you spending time to get money? Or are you spending money to get time? Because there's a huge difference between the two. You spending time to get money? Or are you spending money to get time? Because we know that contentment doesn't come from money and stuff. Contentment, to the contrary, comes from our relationships, doesn't it? With those that we love, and more importantly, true contentment comes from a relationship with our Father. Therefore, if I spend more time with my Father, the more likely I am to be content. You follow me? As it turns out, the secret to contentment isn't belongings. It's belonging. The secret to contentment isn't, nor has it ever been, belongings. It's belonging. And because of what Jesus has done, we do belong with our Father. That's why he came. He came to give his life for you and for me because the sin in our own lives broke our relationship with God and separated us from him. So he said, I'm going to come. I'm going to live a perfect life and give that life for you on the cross. I'm going to raise up from the dead on the third day and conquer sin and death and Satan and hell forever and make a way for you to come back where you always belonged. Come back into a relationship with your Father, to come back to the source of contentment, to have the possibility to find what you've been looking for all this time. And if you don't know how to do that, I would love to chat with you before you leave this place today. If you're with us in the room here in just a little bit when service is over, I'm going to be standing right down here in the front. I'd love to talk with you. If you're with us online right now, take a minute and email us at hello@swisscovechristian.com. Because listen, the goal of our conversation today is really not to help you declutter your closet. It's to help you declutter your life. Because we didn't come today to say, oh, your stuff and your toys, those are evil and those are bad in and of themselves. And the question isn't, do I have too much stuff? The question is, does my stuff have me? Is it sucking up so much of my time and my resources and my treasure that I don't have the time to spend with those relationships that matter? And most importantly, I don't have the time to spend with my Father because I'm too busy chasing all this stuff over here that has failed me time and time and time again. So what I want you to do is take a look at your life and ask this question. Not does it spark joy, because it can, by the way. Ask this question. Is this thing, is it pulling me closer to God or is it pushing me further from him? Is it pulling me closer to God Or is this pushing me further from him? I want you to share things when you can and give stuff away. Not because stuff in and of itself is evil, but you know what I've noticed? Is when you start to release stuff, it starts to release you too. And you start to be set free from needing all of this stuff because it no longer becomes a source of pride in your life. And this thing that you're looking for to give you that contentment, it becomes a tool for the kingdom. And listen, church, I know that we're going to fight this battle for contentment all of our lives. All of our lives. Until Jesus comes back or calls us home, we're going to be in a battle for contentment, but we will no longer accept any substitute for a relationship with our Father. Not food, not drink, not money, not clothes, not stuff, not anything else. We're no longer going to spend our days worried about these things and running to them when we feel anxious and when we feel insecure, because we know what the secret is to contentment in all circumstances. Secret to contentment is not belongings. It's belonging. And because of what Jesus has done, we already belong. So take a breath. That contentment that you're looking for is already right there. And my prayer for you is that you'll take hold of it.